Thanks, everybody, for joining us again today on Bridging the Gap. It's going to be our third installment on the last fiscal court meeting, the regular August meeting. We have some issues to move on to, but before we do, Judge, you told me off air you wanted to go back and touch on something else, so let's go ahead and do that.
Yes, as I think we get into the rest of this meeting, it'll be in more positive notes. And I guess going back, as I said, we've talked numerous times on this radio show about the drug epidemic stuff, and sometimes it can get in a very negative light. But I want to say it's not meant to be that way. I'm very optimistic, and that's what I said. If we learn from history, this is a chance for us to learn and move forward and better ourselves. So I'm very optimistic that we can get this thing. And like I said, not only America's, but, you know, Powell County's best days are still before us. But it is very vital if we have a problem that we look into it. So seem like we kind of get on gloom and doom someday, but I don't see it that way at all. I think there's opportunities in everything if you learn from history and you learn from it and you prevent it in the future and have better days. So
Absolutely. Well, moving on from that to trying to wade more into optimism, like you said, tell us a little bit about House Bill 156.
Yeah, this is very exciting. And, you know, during my tenure here as judge, one of the things we've really concentrated on and had a lot of success, I think, is in the tourism area. And very excited to see now that, you know, I think the state has in the last few years really started to see what it means to our economy and start to try to exploit it, too. And a couple sessions ago, 148-0222 was passed, and that created the Kentucky Mountain Regional Recreation Authority. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this actually on this show before, too. And basically what it done, they looked at the models that I think Virginia and West Virginia had and some of the success they've had with their OHV trails and things. And one thing that come to light in investigating what they had done is they actually have a state entity that helps facilitate that versus each county having to have a model and go on their own. So kind of standardizing that process, working off what's worked for them. So when that was passed, there was actually an amendment to it. In this session, House Bill 156 was passed. And if you look back, one of the requirements to go ahead and get this thing in working order now that it's been established was that 16 of the counties that were included in this area had to sign a resolution. And at point 16, I think it's up to 19 counties now, had signed the resolution, then this will come a working authority. Mm-hmm. So we were very excited. I think she was up to talk to Debbie Spencer, 15 counties prior to Tuesday night, and I think we become the 16th county to get that signed. So hadn't heard back, but I think she's to the magic number 16. So this is something that should go into effect and start working. And I think if you see what we're doing with our adventure tourism, I think this will really help accelerate this, not only for Powell County, but for Eastern Kentucky. And so I'm very excited about the potential it has. And, you know, in working on our trails and working with our Hollywood Park project, and that's even a conglomeration of four counties, you can see how this model would be very effective. You know, some of the things that we didn't have the resources or have to learn on the go, now we'll have resources, some models at work, so it should expedite expanding this form of tourism in the eastern part of the state.
And that kind of seems like you mentioned Hollywood, which is just a collection of our neighbors, and then this, which is larger. It seems like the future of Eastern Kentucky is becoming working together as a unified block more and more every year.
It is. I think the regionalization, like I said, and it's going back to what we've talked about, trying to get to a merged government here, there's a lot of merit in it. The economies of scales that are reached as well as the resources that are available. And, you know, this bill alone, I think, in the efforts we've put into Hollywood, and I think we're still saying, hopefully, and that's it. Seem like we keep going back to persistence, but that's been a project that's been, you know, a lot of work done unbeknownst to a good many of the people for the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I think hopefully sometime in September maybe we're finally going to get it open. But I really see this is going hand in hand with this House bill, because actually it plays right into it. You know what I'm saying? One benefits the other, and this could actually be the spoke where this trail authority actually takes off. So they go hand in hand, and they have very positive implications, not only for Powell County, but for, like you said, this Eastern Kentucky corridor. And so it's kind of starting to see, exciting to start to see some of the fruits of all these labors going and what it can mean to our folks here. And with that traffic, that's why you start to see a lot of additional revenues and growth coming into our community that provides us with money that's not off our taxpayers' backs, and right. That's very exciting. I think what it does for land values, mm-hmm. entrepreneurs, it's going to open a lot of doors that previously were closed to our area.
Yeah, and that kind of thing really is great news. Well, moving along, what other events took place after that?
The next what we had on the agenda was airport board appointments, and here again, going back to this is a airport board, people don't always understand it. It's very vital and important to our economic growth, and we're very fortunate. We start talking, it seems like we keep identifying things Powell County has that other communities don't. Not every community has an airport. It may be a relatively small airport, but it's still very vital and can hold very important things in our future. So that board is actually something, there again, Bill Harrison and Glenn Sayer, some of these people has been on it for years, but in the last few years got a little bit more attention, a few more projects. So a couple years back, it had always been a county board, but it was changed to a joint board between the city of Stanton and the county itself. And since that time, it's been 2 years now, because actually the first set of those people that were on those appointments are coming due for either reappointment or replacement. And so the county appointment that was due was J.J. Brewer, who's serving as president, and it's been very vital, and his law experience with some of these things that are going on now is very vital, so he's willing to was willing to stay on, so I reappointed him. And then I think Margaretta Arnett is the one due up for the city, so mm-hmm. Those appointments were needed to be made by August, so we're right on schedule, and hopefully a lot of exciting things will go on there in the next few years.
Great. Well, moving on from there, what do we have up next?
Kind of the same. We had several, I guess, just while we're getting on the appointments. Board of Adjustments was another one that we made the appointments to, as well as had an appointment on the library board. One of the members had resigned, so Delinda Powell was appointed as that replacement to serve out the rest of that term. So that kind of got through with the appointments there, and there's quite a few of those this time.
I guess there was a little bit of news relevant to the road department.
Yeah, there's several things that are going on with the road department. In looking at ways we can always be more efficient, I think people, if they've noticed, our equipment, as we've talked about many times, is much improved. And one of the things that we tried to do to be more efficient and keep them in better equipment was looking at utilizing some lease programs for the dump truck. Mm-hmm. And we've tried that for a year, so very excited to see how that turns out. But basically, that lease, when we took it on, it guarantees that 85% of that value will be at least that paid at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And so we're getting ready to go through that first cycle, see what it brings at auction, and hopefully
it could be in excess of 85%.
It actually could, but you're guaranteed at a bare minimum of that. So if you look at that cost and what you would typically pay for a piece of equipment that light, it seems to be a way you avoid the maintenance issues, have new equipment to work with, and so far everything's went very well about it. So very excited to see what the actual results of this is and give us a little bit better idea of going forward how we want to utilize that program.
Sure. Well, and beyond that, what was up next?
Really, we had one other, I guess, thing I would consider very positive. As we near completion with the jail, and like I said, it seemed like a little thing. It keeps chinking and putting it off a little bit, but we're very close now. Hopefully, no later than mid-September, we're going to finally have that. And in preparing for that opening, this is one of the things, kind of going back to the regionalism concept too, is having the capacity, and I think it's Travis, we've had him on here before, one of the things he had mentioned was some of the surrounding counties that we might be able to benefit, as well as benefit ourselves in with this new expansion. And one of those, I think if you've kept track in the news, is Estill County's had some issues with their jail.
Sure.
So we've been approached. I think Travis had talked to their jailer, and he and I both have talked to their judge. And really, their current scenario with their jail being shut down, they're housing a lot of their inmates at three or four different locations. And beyond the cost associated with that is they would like to facilitate having them at one place, and I think we're going to be able to do that. And so we had quite a bit of talk, and basically what had been requested by them was a contract stating what we could and couldn't do and what the cost would be. It looks like we're very close, even in prior to this, we had had conversations, so we kind of know, they know what to be expecting to see out of this, but they wanted it formally wrote down. So what they're looking at is currently a contract for 50 beds, which, you know, the thing I like about that, it gives us some besides revenue flow, it kind of diversifies us a little bit. We're not so relying on only state inmates and those kind of things. So it gives us some diversity, kind of helps ensure that we have a cash flow, and it keeps making the way we approached this was to try to get the jail closer to black or in the black, and it makes the reality of that happening look very much more promising.
Sure.
And also kind of in that same light, we currently had, as we talked about on previous episode two, the SAP program, substance abuse program, that's in our jail, which is state inmate plus you get some additional cost. And I think it's a good program. Like I said, I think getting ahead of, you know, going back to the drug thing, getting ahead of it and trying to make a difference, change some of these people and actually put them back out into the public, having a better idea for or opportunity for success is very vital. But so we talked about that program before, and we currently have 50 beds. We were hoping with this new expansion that we were going to be awarded maybe 20 to 30 more. Well, we've got word back that we're going to get an additional 50, so we will have a total of 100 SAT beds. So, you know, those two things really very exciting going forward with this new jail expansion, I think will help make it the success we thought it would be. So that was where a lot of the time was taken in discussing what all should be included in that contract. And so we, like I said, myself and Travis had been in it, but we wanted to get with the court and make sure that we'd covered everything or hadn't missed anything. So I think we're pretty close to having that thing secured, hopefully.
Well, we had Travis was on the show. He and I spoke last week, and he has the same optimism that you have about this going forward and how it can be a huge benefit to the community by expanding the SAP program and reducing some of the costs the general fund of the county has to go into supporting the jail. So it sounds like from all sides this is going to be a really positive thing for the community once it's completed.
I guess it's important. We've mentioned it before, but in mentioning some of the previous county, and if you watch the news, when your elected officials get along, it makes things so much easier. I know in a lot of counties you look, the jail and the county, naturally you can see how that can be a conflict. But having a jailer that's aware of the problem that a jail can be to a community and it's willing to work with myself and the court has made, I think, well, we've already proven how much improvement you've seen in that. But going forward to actually write that and make it a positive for our community instead of a negative burden. So that just, I'd like to commend him and his staff on being great tools, and as I said, most all of our elected officials have been wonderful to work with, and when that happens, the harmony, it definitely makes progress much more possible and expedites it.
Absolutely. Well, Judge, we got about a minute and a half left or so. Are there any other things we want to touch on real quick?
Really, we spent a good portion of this meeting in closed session discussing some things that couldn't be outside of that. There was no action taken as regards to those closed sessions at this time, but once again, just like to thank all the people for giving me this opportunity to serve. And just like I said, beyond this, if anything we've mentioned sparks something else you want to know or don't have an idea about, always feel free to contact me. And we're here to serve you, and that's what we're trying to do in the best possible way.
Well, and of course, you know, everyone is always that's the purpose of the public comment at the meeting. If there are any questions or issues that you'd like to see resolved or just questions you have for the fiscal court, for your elected representative, everyone, of course, it's an open meeting. Everyone is welcome to attend the fiscal court meeting. These are the second Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. They're held in the conference room in the judge executive's office there in the courthouse. And it's an open forum for anyone in the community to come express an idea or ask a question. And really, it's through the kind of communication that we try to do on this show and the kind of communication and feedback that we can have within those meetings that enables us as citizens to speak to our representatives and to give us the opportunity to engage directly in how our tax dollars are managed and what kind of decisions are made from the top down and from every department. So we hope everyone will take advantage of that. And as usual, if you have any questions, you can always reach us on Facebook at Powell County Office of Public Information, and we try to get those questions answered on here as best we can. Judge, thank you for joining us again, and we'll be back tomorrow with something completely different. I think we have made it through the court meeting this time.
Thank you all.